grind.
Alright, where are you going? Here, okay?
Grind.
Oh my god. Not coming in, I figured it, man.
Good job, buddy.
The Hunt for Answers. The Ugly Pike Podcast.
All right, Frank, welcome back to the Ugly Pike Podcast on the Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast Network. Frank, we've been talking for the past month now about a certain special time. You know, what time is it? So tell us what time it is right now.
Evidently, it's amateur hour, but I'll tell you what time it is. It's it's the Toronto Sportsman Show time, and we're here.
Listeners won't know why you said that. So, but yeah, let's just say we botched our first intro.
Yes, this is the second take, and you know, we've got a friend from ours in the Muskie community. I can see him laughing at me beside me. We'll introduce him in a second, but. Before we start,
let me just from our sponsors, and then we'll get right into it. Okay.
Let's mention our wonderful sponsors that we love.
Yeah, you got it. Okay. So today's episode is brought to you by Canada's only specialized pike and muskie shop, Izoco. Head over to izocofishing.com and check out all the amazing handpicked top quality gear they have to offer. And I hope they're there today, Frank. I hope you see them. This episode is also proudly brought to you by Angling Sports, based in London, Ontario, and serving customers throughout Canada and the Northern U.S. With over 30 years of unmatched angler support, they offer top-tier fishing products catering to every skill level. Explore their offerings at anglingsports.ca and gear up for an unparalleled fishing experience. And also, we hope they're there today. So, Frank, yeah, tell us, by the way, you have somebody with you right now, an old friend of the show. You want to start with Mike? Yeah. Mike from Handlebars Lures and Fishing Guide Service. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good, Chris. Doing great. It's kind of nice being out of the show and not having a booth to be working at, so I can take time for fun things like this.
Yeah, Chris.
Frank, I don't know. Like, Mike, I don't know if you know, but like so many times we've referenced that fishing day on your boat on our show because it was such an epic moment for us. Just like it was such a great day. So I just want you to know that you know, you were brought up numerous times in terms of that special day we had right at the 11th hour, which we made your wife walk home from work so we could get that fish.
I forgot about that.
and you helped us produce an epic moment. So yeah, I just want to remind you of that.
No, I totally appreciate that. And that's one of the things that, I always tell people, like when we say our days are 6 to 8 hour fishing days, if it's one of those days like that there where, you know, the fish are here, they're going to go stick around. And yeah, it wasn't 50, but what was it? 49 and a half, 49 and three quarters.
It was pretty close too. It was the nicest looking fish, right? It was, Chris, remember that? I remember that picture you posted.
Fish.
It was really nice. But yeah, you know,
fish.
I was walking around the show and, you know, Mike is very inconspicuous, so I almost missed him, but saw him hanging out at the St. Croix booth.
Yep.
And figured we'd get caught up because it's been 2 years?
Yeah, a couple of years since we've seen each other. A
couple of years. Mike's been on the show a couple times. We always get a ton of people watching the show when you're on.
That's awesome. And, you know, it's pretty...
Or listening, rather.
Pretty humbling to us that people would even care to talk to us. Like, it's... really weird because as you guys, like, we're just regular anglers that I've been blessed with what we have, and you know what, you take your time and be honest to people,
yeah,
and good things will follow.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, Chris, with Handlebars is that, you know, people love dealing with the company, so, and we love Mike. And what's going on this season? Anything new and exciting?
We got to experience Mike as a guide and also as a bait builder. So we used his products and we fished with him on his boat. So yeah, nothing but glowing reviews. Mike, are you there with a booth today, or are you just wandering the show and checking out all the stuff that they have to offer?
Well, it's kind of funny. Like as you guys know, and a lot of people know, Handlebars, we build Flashaboo inline baits and spinner baits, and I'm actually here working with Blackfly Lures. Dean from Blackfly, he's a good friend, and they make inline Flashaboo baits and spinner baits, so I'm here actually helping a good friend, selling his product.
Musky
that's the same as ours.
Or
yeah, like, musky pike and bass.
Okay.
Yep.
So they're over there, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
he's over the corner by the fishing pond.
Yeah, I saw those baits and I was like, they kind of look like musky baits, but never heard of those guys. And
yep.
All right, well,
yeah,
now I have.
They're just awesome people. And you know what? That's kind of one of the things in this industry. It's like so many people think that if just because we all have spinner baits or we all have the same similar baits, you can't work together.
Yeah.
Well, I just drove 3 hours to come here and give a day's work with these guys. And they're just good people and good friends. And why not come out here? And I actually get to wander around and visit with people. So it's nothing like giving back to the community, right?
Yeah. And now here you are under the bright
That's
lights
awesome.
In our studio. Chris, this is, I'm not going to lie to you. This is pretty cool. It's pretty cool here. Our booth is pretty cool. This booth is freaking awesome. Never mind. It's not pretty cool. We've run some stories.
Pictures look great, yeah.
Yeah, you did a great job on the design. And, of course, this concept that Angelo and Pete put together for this booth is just, like, this is the place to be here. And we're getting a lot of people walk by and engage us. A lot of people are taking pictures of our logo, Chris. So I think it's
nice.
Really hitting the mark. So based on yesterday with you over social media, I now, you know, not that I didn't know, but I know that the branding process is arduous because we're doing a relaunch of our beer soon, a new product, and a meat snack line. I don't know if you know, but we're doing some grass-fed pepperettes, so we want to give good, clean, you know, boat snack options to the musky anglers that are busting their humps.
Nice.
And, you know, so we've got some good high-protein, clean meat snacks coming in a month. They'll be on the market. And it's going to be something else.
That's awesome. When you guys get a whiskey, hit me up because I can't drink beers or whatever it is. I drink beer and I'm written off for the next day, but I can drink whiskey all night long and get up and fish in the morning.
Chris, we've always had that kind of in our...
We've talked about it. It's funny you said that. We've talked about it. But, you know, you can only do so much, right, Mikey? I mean, you know that with your company, you got so many things that you're working on. And, you know, you try to just, like, you don't want to bite off too much. So, you know, one step at a time. But we have talked about that and looked into the options in terms of how you can start that product or that business. And, yeah. Yeah, you'll be the first customer then if we ever do go down that road.
That'll be perfect. And it's funny you say that. Like, we talked with Red Barn Brewery down there in Chatham.
Oh, yeah.
And when they were building the place, the pandemic hit. But I had met him at a workshop, like, with other local companies at home. And he said, I want to make a beer with you guys. And we're like, cool. And then you guys come up with yours. I was like, even cooler because I don't have to be involved. You guys got a great product. Like,
dude, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. Hey, Chris, I mean, more than maybe a little more than we thought, but I think with our new partnership with Newark Brewing, based out of Beamsville, these guys are next level beer makers, and I think they really get it. So it's going to make, I think, life a little easier for us, I hope.
That's awesome because I know, again, like I say, I don't drink beer. But from everybody that I know that's had it, they loved it. And like last year at the Odyssey, I know you guys had them there, and a lot of people were really, really liking that.
Were you at Unleash the Beast, Mike?
No, unfortunately, I'm too busy at that time of year to get away. And even the last couple of years, I had to give up my St. Lawrence trip in September because I just get too caught up with work at home and kind of one of those things where you got to take it while it's there. And I just had to give up some things like that.
What about Musky Brow? They're at your front door.
I usually have clients because it's in October, November.
Yeah.
So I usually have clients. And I know some people do that with their clients, but for me, I'd rather let's just get them out there and spend 100% of my attention on them and not worried about, hey, we have to catch a big fish.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So I just kind of do our thing and help out where you can. And just stay out of the way of everybody that's fishing the big tournaments. Let them get into there where they need to fish. And
it's such a huge tournament, eh?
Oh, it's nuts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's times like last year, everybody's in one area, and it was just absolutely nuts, like 60 boats.
What do you do as a guide? Like, you must just be like, what do you do that weekend? You must just be like, I'm going to the other side of the lake. Like, what do you do?
So, quick story with that. Last year, I had
And Dave Gray's definitely listening. So, just so you know, right, Dave?
Yeah. Oh, well, he won't
be. I was going down that road for that tournament. That's what I was getting at. Yeah, I mixed the names up. So you're right, Frank.
Yeah. So last year with that tournament, I had clients of mine that have been clients since 2016 or 17, and they wanted to fish that tournament, and so they fished it and they texted me, where are you? And I told them where I was. And then they didn't see me all day long. And then they kept asking, where are you? I said, you know, you fished with me enough.
Yeah.
If I'm not where you guys are and you know what area I'm in, why do you think I'm not where you are? And the day that day there, we got 7 or 8 fish, and they came up and they got a couple by the time. I just told them, I said, if you can't figure it out, I'm not telling you.
Right.
And 5 minutes later, they were there because they knew exactly where I was at that point. And,
yeah.
But it was just funny because everybody was sitting there in the one spot, and I do exactly that. If there's too many people, I'll just leave and go find my own fish.
Yeah, but that just must be like crazy. Like, that's your fishery. And that weekend must just be like all those boats roll in, right? All those musky guys.
Like, it's a big body of water.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big body of water. And usually everybody in that tournament, they all fish in the same areas
because
they don't have the time to put the work in to find a whole lot of other areas. So that's one of the easier things. Like, everybody will stick to one certain area. So.
Yeah. And Chris, when we interviewed Dave, we pretty much established that, like, this is probably the only body of water you could do something like this on. And
For logistics and everything, he made that clear. And yeah, that the whole, and it can, like, he was talking about how it consumes the whole area, and like just even the hotels, the restaurants, everything. It's just flooded with anglers, which is great for the community, though, right?
Oh, it's amazing for the community. And yeah, it's crazy because some days you'll see like 60 boats all out in one area and literally counting, casting like Shadzillas and that, and at each other, and they're one's hitting off my boat and then I'm hitting off your boat. It's literally battle boats out there, and you're battle of the big rubber.
I would imagine too, motor skills are slightly impaired on day two of that tournament because of the festivities the night before. So maybe not everybody's as sharp as they usually are either, right? So
I don't get to, like, again, I say when those big tournaments are on, I just try to stay right out of the way. If I don't have clients, I don't usually end up fishing anyway. But if I have clients, I just stay away because I got to take them to where it's more calm fishing. And I'd rather, even if they're in a pack of like 50, 60 fish or 100 fish in that area, I'll go find a pack of 3 or 4 or 5 and I'll go fish my own area and only have 2 rods going through instead of 500.
Right. Well,
so Mike, while we have you, like, since we talked to you last, what's up? Anything new you want to talk about in terms of your guiding or your lure production or anything, like anything new and exciting you want to talk about that's happened in the last, you know, or up and coming?
Yeah. Something we released last year, our triple B's. And basically,
that's the big one, right?
Yeah, it's a great big one there.
That's the one I walked over to the last show, and I walked right over to it. And I think you're always deluged at these shows, but you turned to me and I think you said that's triple B. And that's what caught my eye in your booth anyway.
Big like heavy or big blades or what's both?
Actually, it's our first non-bladed bait. And we use the high roller body. And so basically you got a solid body and it has an insert in it so you can put the screw in weights. We do make our own screw in weights, but we use the same thread as like Phantom and most of the other companies. I made sure to go with theirs in case you already have screw in weights. You don't have to buy ours. You can just use what's already in your box. And it's basically, you can use it like a baby beaver or you can use it like a tube. Guys are vertical jigging them, so we make a 2 ounce weight instead of just the 1.5 the other companies have. And guys are out on the Niagara River vertical jigging them. And
Really?
Oh yeah, yeah. You got a solid body on the front with one skirt that's attached to that won't come off, and then you got a segment of 2 other skirts in behind it. And so it's an articulated bait, and it really does move pretty darn cool through the water.
Awesome.
It almost looks like one of those dragons that you see, like the Chinese dragons at the
parade. Oh yeah, with all the humps and flowing tails and stuff. Like, yeah, cool.
It's absolutely nuts that way. And then you can take the tails off, and then say like Waterwolf, they got their grubs.
Yep.
Or like Bonnie Bait, they have grubs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Or Shadzillas, you can put those in behind it and use it that way too. Like the big grubs, it works really
good.
Did
you have some hooked up with the grubs in your booth?
Yes.
That's the one I picked.
Yep.
Yeah, it just looks like
Mike, I'm on your website right now. What's it under? Is it on your website? I'm trying to find it. I see the lure collections. Is it under like Bonnie Bait's, Chewies, double eights, Humpies?
Might be under Big Belly Bars or Triple B.
Big Belly
Bars. Okay.
Yeah, I've I got to get somebody to work on my site because I've updated it. So it's kind of not navigable too well because I can fish and I can build lures, but I'm not good at building websites now that I'm not using iMac or iWeb.
Right. Yeah, I think we can relate to that, Chris.
So were you able to find them there?
No, I'm going through every one now and just kind of like...
Yeah, if you go to collections, I know it was near the bottom because there's one that says extra tails or triple B extra tails. Like we do sell the pair of tail, like so we'll have like the two jointed skirts and a hook on them. And the triple B's, they're $60. But if you say buy a black one, you can buy like a tail like it has black and orange, or you can buy a white tail or whatever. So you can interchange it. That way they're for $15, you get the extra tails. And you can have like two or three different patterns of baits instead of just one.
Sounds good. Cool, man. Well, listen, appreciate you coming by.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, it's always good to see you.
I was going to say, one other bait that I was talking about is our weighted 10s. So, again, it's the same idea as that. It has a screw and weight. And so it's the same bait as our high roller, except it's got an insert in it. You can put the weights in it, and you can chuck double 10s all day long, and it feels like throwing double 8s all day, so... And in the figure eight.
Sounds great.
In the figure eight, the blades don't stop. As long as you keep her going, it does. You know, sometimes they'll flutter if you don't get it going.
Yeah.
The resistance from that body and the weight, it actually keeps those blades going. So.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds great, man. I'm going to get my hands on a triple B. And see if I can break my streak in the Niagara River with it because it's getting embarrassing. Mike, thanks for coming by, man.
Thanks for having me,
Frank. It's always good to see you.
It's great talking to you, Chris. I can't wait to see you when you get back home here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to fishing with you one day again. So all the best to you, and good luck with the fishing and the new lures.
Thank you very much, Chris. And you guys know you guys always have a seat in my boat. So just appreciate that. When you're coming down.
Appreciate that. It's just a matter of time before we do it again.
Heck yeah.
Awesome, man.
All right, guys. Cheers.
All right, see you, Mike. Take care.
Cheers.
Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and muskie shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox angler's paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear from bait casting to fly fishing and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top-quality service. But Izoco is more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips, swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories.
Hi, everybody. I'm Angelo Viola.
And I'm Pete Bowman.
Now, you might know us as the hosts of Canada's favorite fishing show, but now we're hosting a podcast.
That's right. Every Thursday, Ange and I will be right here in your ears, bringing you a brand new episode of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Now, what are we going to talk about for 2 hours every week?
Well, you know there's going to be a lot of fishing.
I knew exactly where those fish were going to be and how to catch them, and they were easy to catch.
Yeah, but it's not just a fishing show. We're going to be talking to people from all facets of the outdoors, from athletes.
All the other guys would go golfing. Me and Garth and Turk and all the Russians would go fishing.
To scientists.
But now that we're reforesting and letting things free, it's the perfect transmission environment for Lyme disease.
To chefs.
If any game isn't cooked properly,
marinated,
or you will taste it.
And whoever else will pick up the phone.
Wherever you are, Outdoor Journal Radio seeks to answer the questions and tell the stories of all those who enjoy being outside.
Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No matter what species you love to target, from boot to headlamp, Angling Sports has what you need. Their store is massive, and it's just loaded with equipment and apparel. So if you love to go after those big toothy critters like we do, it's a one-stop shop for all pike and musky tackle. Whether you're looking for trolling rods or casting reels, Angling Sports is always adding the latest and best industry offerings from entry level to higher end. Looking for custom musky baits? They got them. It's worth the drive to London, so check out their amazing store in person or online by visiting anglingsports.ca and net that PB in style.
But was there something that stood out to you, or something that you know that piqued your curiosity that you wanted to go investigate a little bit further?
Well, I haven't gone through everything with a fine tooth comb as much as I want to, because you know, you just, like, for example, I saw Mike. I was chatting with him for 20 minutes, so I haven't really gone through it, but. I'll report back on that on Sunday. I think I'm going to have a much better sense of the room on Sunday when we do our broadcast, which will be part two of this live from Toronto Sportsman Show. So let me do some more research. The MNR booth, believe it or not, is extremely interesting over there, and I'm just
they have a casting pond there again.
I don't know.
Did you see that?
Tone.
They should have.
They have a thing over there, casting pond.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I've seen it.
All
it's
right.
Not at the M&R booth, though. It's behind us, closer to the Fish TV guys there.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that part of the room yet. So,
yeah.
Nice. Chris, in case anybody's wondering, we've got Luigi,
Top Dog
Pereira, and Antonio Smash Maleka on the microphones.
What's going on, brother?
What's going on, man? Welcome.
How's the show? We miss you here, man.
I know. I heard you had a great night last night.
I got to ask you.
Well, not as good as Frank.
I got to ask. Don't spoil it, Lou, but I got to ask you a question, Chris. Have you ever played poker with Frank?
I don't play poker.
Okay.
That's why you guys are friends.
That's why you guys are friends.
From what I heard, he cleaned up last night. That's the rumor. All right. So I think
I just want to know if that's company money or is that personal money?
Maybe we shouldn't talk about that.
I'll go on a shopping spree for the both of us after this. But it was a good time. I threw an early round. I got beat out early. I think everybody thought it was terrible. That was my strategy, though. I'll buy in. I'll look like I don't know what I'm doing, and then bang.
Sandbagger.
That would have been easy money totally out of my pocket. You would have wiped me because I can't play. I cannot play poker.
You can't count. Never mind play.
So when are you guys,
doing your show?
Are you guys doing anything on in this studio? When are you guys recording?
Yeah, we're on from 4 to 6 later today. So we got a few fun guests lined up. Looking forward to that. But this is our first time here at a show, I guess, like you.
Yeah.
Right. And we're loving this experience, man. Just connecting with so many people and being part of the industry is a different perspective. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you guys walk around yet? Did you, like, what are your first impressions? Anything stand out for you? Anything of interest that just kind of blew your mind, or you just kind of still getting the lay of the land there?
Yeah. Well, for me, I'm a Georgian Bay bass guy. So, talking to the guys from, Perfect Jig, and they got some new products for Goby baits and stuff like that. And just seeing what's new out there and connecting with some of these suppliers and finding kind of more insights into what's going on. It's pretty cool.
And you know what? For me, Chris, we just started getting into hunting as well. And if you walk to the other side of this hall, you are in paradise. And I'm talking about like merch, crossbows, outdoor gear, like the stuff is amazing. And it's like
Bowtech has a really cool booth here.
Oh yeah, Yeti, you were saying Yeti, their booth is pretty sick.
So I love the color orange. I got my Yeti stuff orange. I got these shoes.
Our shoes are orange.
They just released a King Crab line, and the whole freaking booth is full of orange shit. And I'm just like, I'm gonna lose my nest egg, my life savings if I go over there. I'm scared. But I went over there and talked to them, Chris.
No, I was gonna say, fellas, like I was just saying to Frank before you came on, like when the first time I went to one of these shows, I just like I left with like a total mental reset. Like I just like I wanna spend my life having part of each one of these booths in my life, you know, like the like everything is just represents being outside and having a great life. So I remember just being like, I got to come here every year. So whenever I'm in the country, I'm going there. So yeah, that's. It sounds like you had a similar like. You're like, wow, you're like these booths are amazing. They want you to buy stuff, but it's not like it's an experience buy, right? It's gonna get you out doing things.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I'm finding that excitement of just being outside again.
Exactly.
The blood started boiling seeing all the outdoor stuff and getting ready for spring.
When I walked by and I saw Mike sitting here, it was like my heart just started pounding. It was like I was getting a fever. You know what yeah. I mean? Whenever you see him in his shorts and the flip flops,
yeah,
could be minus 20 outside, doesn't care. And the blood's boiling, man. I'm ready That's to right. cast. Let's go.
But Chris, to be honest with you, like, you, what booth left an impression, early impressions of the show? This booth.
Oh, 100%.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
That picture you sent me is amazing. It's yeah. what a setup, man.
Chris, I think if you're here live too, it's got such an impact,
yeah,
and we've got like all these chairs and people sitting and watching us, and all these kids popping in to watch us do the podcast. We got a group of
where's the stickers, man? Give the kids some stickers.
Group of kids watching us, and you know, we don't get the crowds that Ange and Pete got, but
we got some stickers for the kids.
It's quite an impressive operation here, and really kind of the focal point of the floor, if you ask me. So really proud to be a part of this, and you know what? The Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast Network, we're taking over. We're leading the way. We're taking over. And you know what? We're just going to create great content. But along the lines of your show, so I want to talk about, Chris, so Antonio sent me all these packs of spices. And so they're rubs, spices, what do you call them?
Just like general, like we've been working on these rubs and these spices for a long time. And the best thing for us to do is get everyone's opinion, but that actually take things seriously. And Frank, when I sent him the rubs and the spices, and again, Lou, we could touch about how much work we put into to getting these. But when we were getting the feedback from Frank, it was so like it was you were dialed in your cooking, brother. Like, oh, yeah. I'm going to say you were probably the number one guy that was sending us the most positive feedback and honest feedback too.
Yeah.
Which is important, right? When you're making anything, and it's like your beer, it's like, you know, when the first time I had your beer, I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
If I thought it was terrible, I'd tell you
none
terrible.
Of us wants to put out an average product, right?
It's when you open this, there you don't get almost like a fresh, you can identify everything you're smelling. Like, I've never had product like this before, and it tastes amazing. And you asked me what my favorite one is, and you have a key lime black pepper rub.
Yeah,
that I thought I was gonna not like, because I'm not a huge key lime guy and I'm not a huge black pepper guy. And I texted Antonio and I said, I'm never making fish without putting this on it again.
I love it.
It was so good. Like, I eat a lot of char, I eat a lot of salmon. And that is, I don't need anything else.
Yeah. So are they paired to specific meats, or they're just, you could use them as you see fit, or you've designed them in a way to pair them with specific meats?
So we've tried to, I mean, we're going to have some recommendations on the packaging. That's one of the things we're working on right now. For example, the lemon, lime, pepper, definitely fish, but we've tried this on chicken, we've tried this on steak, we've tried this in stews, and everyone's palate's different, but we feel like these spices are not overpowering, so you can use them across the board. It's great. I mean, it's up to you. Have some fun with them.
Yeah, and the one thing that Frank did that was awesome is that, you know, every time he made a dish, it was like, okay, you know, this is how I made it. This is my suggestion. It blew me away. Now I'm screwed. I got to have this all the time with this. So like all the positive feedback we get, but the time that Frank took in like actually really, really sampling the product was amazing. And the feedback we got helps us for when we are going to make this final, you know, the final blends. And then like Lou said, with the packaging. But answer your question, Chris, you can almost use any of the rubs or any of the spices on any kind of meat, any kind of fish. So if you like jerk, you can use the jerk on pork, you could use it on chicken, fish, whatever you want. So they're pretty dynamic in that way. But
Chris will be here for the summer for about 6 weeks. So I'll see if I can get you some packs from our friends here, and you can barbecue your brains out with them.
Is Chris going to have 5 minutes to get on the boat?
What's going on with you, Chris? Are you fishing or what?
Oh yeah. I don't even know if we'll be fishing. We'll be hanging out on the boat. Like, we got some catching up to do.
Why don't
I hear so great stories about you guys? So yeah, I'm looking forward to the summer.
Why don't we try to hook something up on Nipissing? Because I think Chris and I will probably be there this summer, and if we can
orchestrate an extra couple of days.
That's probably the easiest thing.
I think right? so.
We can do that. No problem.
It's pretty close too.
Yeah. Even Georgian Bay, where Lou is, Georgian Bay. I know you, Frank, you love fishing Georgian Bay.
I do, but we suck at it. So,
everybody sucks at it. Everybody sucks at it.
If we can do it after we got invited onto Pete Bosselman's boat. So I think Chris and I will be much better musky anglers after that trip. Yeah. But you might have to blindfold us when he takes us to his spots. So, Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, my schedule will be open. So I'm going to let you lead the way. If you want to, like, whatever the schedule works for these guys, if you have a certain days that work for you guys, just let us know. And
we'll make it happen.
And I'm pretty open. Yeah, I'm pretty open for the summer. The only thing is if we do a destination trip, frankly, if we could go to Lac Seul or Eagle Lake or something, then we'll have to block Lake. That time off.
But. Well, we were talking about Lac Seul yesterday. I've never been there. And you guys, I know you guys love those waters. So let's go.
That's
whole next level.
I'm down.
You know what? The journey. I don't know how you guys have time, though.
We'll bring the food. You guys do everything else.
This is really why I want to fish with these guys, because on their show, they're always talking about the meals.
Listen.
And you know the way we are, Chris. It's like choke down a steak right to bed, or a burger and whiskey and right to bed.
No, we're going to start the day off with a little bit of cheese, San Jorge cheese from Portugal. Some chorizo. We char that a little bit. We have a little bit of popsich. We have a little bit of fresh bread. Okay. A little bit of Tums after that.
It's a great time, trust me.
I think CJ said that we got to stop doing sausage now, because by the time we get back on the boat, we're dying. We're dying. And you get the heartburn going. So, you know what? I'd love to fish with you guys. And I was going to ask you, Frank, with this fall, you were sending me pictures. Would you say that was a very successful fall for you hitting the muskies?
We had, we had the worst season of our life, followed by the best season of our life. And it started with Chris and I. We had an exceptional time on Nipissing this year. Unleashed the Beast was kind of slow, but that was just, I don't know why. Well, I got a nice fish, don't get me wrong, but we finished super strong. Yeah, on the St. Lawrence River.
St. Lawrence.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Did you see the pictures?
You sent me the pictures.
I sent them to when it happened,
They were hogs, man. Dude, hogs.
Yeah, we really nailed it this year and hit it out of the park. So it was one of those epic things. And to be quite honest, we were starting to kind of sour, because we had had back-to-back-to-back kind of shitty trips out there in recent years. And we were like, we'll give it one last go. And
isn't that musky fishing, though? That's musky fishing, man.
Well, you know, Chris, we talk on the show. Who did we have on the show? I don't remember who it was, but they talked about the fishery out there, that it's not really headed in the right direction. So high peaks and valleys, yeah, that's musky fishing. But the greater question is, are we fishing on a dying waterway? And should we be finding new waters or going somewhere else?
Yeah.
Right, Chris? I mean, who was that? Why can't I remember this? Maybe it was John Anderson. I can't remember.
Musky's always been a hard fish to target and cast. Like, a lot of guys that I know, you know, they don't even have the patience, or they don't even have the stamina or the strength to cast big baits. Like, we go to Lake St. Clair every fall, like late fall, like November, December, and by day two, day three, we're dying. We're dying. We're casting all day. And I know you're not a fan too much of Lake St. Clair, you know, those times casting those big baits, and it is getting more popular. But I will say this, in terms of numbers and in terms of, like, production, I would probably say this year, and we didn't go with the brawl. We went after the brawl. After the brawl. And we saw many, many fish being caught. You know, even the shore ninjas were bringing them in. And
I got my PB.
Yeah, Lou got his PB.
49er.
Beautiful.
Still haven't hit 50, though.
I thought it was a 50, but I'm still not part of the club.
You didn't pinch the tail hard enough.
Yeah, I guess so.
At least you were honest.
It's coming. Don't worry. Summer, you'll hit it.
For me, like, it's not that I'm not a fan of Lake St. Clair. It's like, if I'm going to drive 4 hours, I want to go to the Shield. Right. That's where I grew up fishing. And, I feel like I'm on vacation when I head up there. It's just a real special place. Yeah. So, you know what? It's just not, there's not enough hours in a day. There's not enough weeks in the month.
Not enough days, man.
You know?
Yeah, I get it.
Yep.
How do you find time, Chris, when you do come back to the city? I mean, it's very limited time. How do you find time to
Doesn't
even
your
fish?
Wife kill you if you go fishing,
yeah.
man?
How do you do it, man?
I pray for my wife to please allow me a certain period of time. And I have to offset that with certain things in the country I live in to be allowed to have that time off. So
yeah.
I have to work some magic. But you know, like at the end of the day, my wife understands that I'm not able to have the, like, she knows when I'm living in Canada, it's like 365 days a year I think about fishing.
Yeah,
I'm out in the winter, I'm out in the fall, I'm out in the spring, I'm out in the summer. So when I'm here, I don't have that opportunity for, you know, almost three seasons. So she knows when I'm home, that's like my priority. So she's very accommodating for that. But it is hard when you're only home for so many weeks to go up for 2 weeks, you know, on a destination trip. So we try to squeeze something in. Like Nipissing is a great compromise because you can go there for 4 days, have, you know, it's not too far away,
yeah.
and it's incredible water. And you're touching the French, and you have like you have so much water to deal with there. So that's been like the home for the last what, Frank, 2 or 3 years we've been doing it, or
yeah,
2 years.
The COVID and post COVID era. Yeah.
Yeah, the post COVID. Yeah.
And so you guys fish closer to the French River, right? Or you go South Shore? Like where on Nipissing are you guys? So South Shore.
When the weather permits, we try to get to the mouth area, the mouth of the French, and in the surrounding areas there. But we fished. Were you with? Yeah, we fished the South Shore too, Chris. The humps.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple times.
But we go into the French when we can't stay on Nipissing because the waves are too. You know, we can kind of go into the kind of protection there from the river. So when we're out in the big water, when the waves, like you obviously been on Nipissing, like within 15-20 minutes, it just turns from like calm to haywire. And you can't fish. So we've experienced that the hard way a few times, and we had to get out of Dodge.
Well, you guys you stay with Fishan de Gagne, eh?
Fishan, yeah.
And so you guys are right in the South Bay there.
South Bay, Hunter's Bay area. I've gotten a 50. I've got 150 out of Hunter's Bay at the mouth, actually. It was the mouth of Hunter's Bay casting, which was awesome. And we went out that way. Like there's a place that Gags calls and it's close.
Don't start talking like that.
No, no. Yeah, he calls it.
He's gonna kill you, man.
We're gonna get mail.
I'm gonna tell you right now. I've never heard of that. I don't know the spot, but we have a nickname. It blindfolds us.
The only one who uses that nickname.
And I'm telling
it's
you,
not man, a nickname.
I've seen more muskie in 2 hours of fishing in that area, casting.
Well, we got a double header out there this year.
And I was just going to say, you guys got a double header because you were trying to reel in because you forgot your rod.
I was using a heavy bass rod.
Gags hooked up. You were out the back with Siege. And
I was throwing a mini cowgirl.
Mini cowgirl.
Small. It was probably like 6 inches.
Yeah. And Gags was using a Suic, I think. He was jerking something. I don't know. Anyways, long story short.
A patch of weeds. Sean's like, fish on, and no one is reeling in the rod.
He looks at me, he's swearing at me.
Because it's Gags. It's like, this guy knows how to take care of his own fish, and he starts swearing at us.
He's swearing at me. He's like, probably gonna get the net. Are you guys crazy? Get the effing net. And I'm like, okay, listen.
And I start reeling in quick to help the guy, and as I start burning that mini cowgirl, bam, the rod almost pops out of my arms. I couldn't believe it.
Snap on this.
And then we got a double header. We had a double header.
Yep.
I couldn't bring the muskie to the boat properly. He came in and it was at least over 45. I know that. But he went back into the weeds and broke off. And that's another story.
Now you burn that bait and you got the strike. So you're like, now fuck, I got to burn these baits every time now.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you do that for like 6 hours and your arm's going to fall off.
That's
and you
right.
don't get anything. And you're
at
like,
least it's a small bait, you know, though. Like, well, that's the thing. It felt like nothing. So now I just want to buy mini cowgirls.
Well, Chris, I'm thinking what I'm thinking.
No, I'm not.
Well, you should be because
I'm missing it. Yeah.
Well, we're gonna be releasing Ugly Pike custom boat
cocktails. No way.
So they're gonna be very exclusive.
Okay.
But we're also gonna be dropping a very small bucktail for the pike community.
Yes, please.
So if anyone's listening, this is how you catch giant fish on Lake Nipissing with these tiny baits. So
that is awesome.
Small baits work too. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah, 100%. Love it. I love it.
We'll have those in about 6 weeks in our e-commerce store that we're launching. So,
jeez, you guys are doing a ton of stuff, man.
Full whore.
No sleep over here. All right.
That's it.
That's awesome, man.
Well, that's good to hear. It's good to hear that that's productive.
Right on.
Cool.
I just want to say that, Frank, I know that you've been trying the spices, but we got a new one that we haven't talked about yet. You're going to be the first one to sample it. We're going to call it a Cerveza Tequila Habanero. Off the top of your head, I know you're gonna whip
some. Did you just make that up? Because I never heard about this.
Listen,
what the hell's going on?
I've been talking to Ravi. I said it to Frank yesterday. I'm working on this new spice, and they finally imported the Cerveza. So it's a beer spice. And off the top of your head, just from listening to what the name of that spice is, what are you making with it? Think of it. You got beer, you got tequila, and you got habanero. So you got spice.
So for me, I'm going to probably, I make really good smoked pork chili verde. Okay. So I would rub my pork shoulder in that because the cerveza, with the chili verde, with the tequila.
Yes.
So that is a natural marriage for me. So I would smoke my pork with that rub. And then I'm going to show you after. I'm going to show you how I make it. And that, like, I smoke the peppers. I sweat them. I de-seed them. I take the skin off. I smoke the corn. And I take it off the cob. And I put it in the chili verde. And that I will make that with that this year.
And can you handle the spice? Are you good with the spice?
I'm good with the spice. My wife's not so good with the spice, but we can do something else for her.
Here you go.
I'll just do two shoulders. And I can do. It's easy to do two batches, but it doesn't matter. The important thing is I do a party every summer for my jiu-jitsu school, so I get 100 people in my backyard,
amazing.
I make two pots of this stuff. And the last time I made it, I had two people from Mexico there at my party, as luck would have it, and they went nuts for it.
Really? That's awesome.
So that's what I'm making with it.
I can't wait for you to try it.
You know what? If we ever go fishing together, I'll make a batch. I just want to eat your food. Maybe I'll bring a small batch because, Chris, I'm sure you'll like it too.
Well, listen, I just heard that meal and I started getting thirsty.
What are we washing that down with, Lou?
Right?
Are we doing Ugly Pike? I know where this is going.
Luis, the last time we had Antonio on the podcast, we talked about cooking for like an hour and a half. I was salivating the whole episode. We're talking about steaks and pasta and you name it. And I just after that finish, I just went and pigged out because I was just so hungry listening to him talk about all the stuff he was cooking.
Right.
And you know what the funny thing is it's like we all, that conversation that we had, it's like we didn't even get to talking musky for like a half an hour to 40 minutes into the show because we were all just talking about food. And it's funny how fishing and food is, you know, it's like a great marriage. And the fact that we all love eating, we're professional eaters, helps the cause when we're thinking about food. But it's something that it's a passion of ours, of all of ours. But when you merge it with fishing and getting together with the guys, it's just, it makes the trip, it sort of makes another angle on our trips. Hey, Lou, we go out there and I'm not sure if when you guys get together, the time you have, but food kind of brings us together. We always fight on who's making what and, you know, how Dan always says that you got to burn the charisse and Lou tells this guy's nuts. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Burn the charisse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lou likes to char the outside. I think his mouth is charred. So I don't know.
But listen, it's the best part because we all chirp each other and we all enjoy the food together. And, you know, we have a few drinks with it and it just makes another.
And you got to let people bring out their individuality out, right? Like you got to let them just do it their way.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Chris, I this was a little bit of a segue into your beer. And I don't know how I feel about this yet because I've purchased your beer a few times. I have some at home.
Nice.
I do enjoy it every now and then. But I just heard that the recipe might change a little.
That's true.
It's changing a lot.
Oh, shit.
Well, listen. we've got a great new partnership.
There's reasons for that. There's reasons for that.
I hope
it's an improvement. It's going to be better for you. And it's going to pair.
I don't know how you can improve from that. But.
I know. But listen, let me tell you.
But that's not dead, Frank. Let him know that's not dead. It's not. That's going to come back. It's just a new product. It doesn't mean that one's gone forever.
It's not only is it not gone forever, but we think within a year or so we're going to be bringing that back. But we want to relaunch with an exciting new product, We have 800,000 potential labels to put around this beer can. We're not sure how we're going to get
saw,
there.
I saw the pictures, Chris. Keep them coming in because the first thing Frank gets off
we
the
might,
plane.
We might use some of those for our stuff.
He's like, check out the logos. Let me keep scrolling. He's like, look what Chris has been sending me. Holy smokes. They're all awesome.
It was it's so many good ideas and so many good potentials, but we think this beer is going to be a little easier to drink. More of a Sessions beer, more That's of great. What our people want.
Nice.
I don't think we're quite ready yet, Chris, to... Are we?
No, not yet, but we're close. We're close. We're close. You mean like to talk about the name and the product?
The product, yeah. Should we?
Sure. Go ahead.
You go ahead. You let us know.
This is the place to share all the new stuff, man. Let's go.
This is the place.
Light lager. We got a light lager coming out.
A light lager. I love it.
So how does that compare with the you guys had a
Pilsner.
Pale ale? No,
a Pilsner.
Pilsner. Yeah. How does that compare? What can you tell me?
Well, I can tell you, I'm not blowing smoke. Like, I tasted the early batch of this stuff. It's the best light beer I ever had.
Really?
I love it. It's very clean and crisp, but it has a taste to it.
It's got flavor. It's not Coors Light.
It's not like the Busch Lights and the there's more to it than that. But you don't get the hoppy craftiness to it. It's a really nice kind of medium, and that's kind of like the way our Pilsner is for a Pilsner.
Right.
And so we think that our crowd is going to appreciate this more, and then we'll bring back the Pilsner because Chris and I love the Pilsner too.
Obviously Lou was the first one when I had an Ugly Pike. Lou purchased some of your beer and it was incredible, but I will say this, I prefer myself personally a light beer. Like, I'm a light beer guy. Like, I've been drinking Bud Light and Coors Light my whole life, and I think you're right. I think that's going to reach more out to, you know, guys like us. Like, you think about this. You go to a sporting event, okay? You go to a soccer game, you go to a hockey game, a baseball game, especially a baseball game. Who's the big sponsors there?
Yeah.
You got Bud Light, you got Coors Light, you got Budweiser.
Yeah.
And those are the beers that we're almost forced to drink because it's around you. But then you
doesn't
you
mean it's great.
Well, but I love it though. I love it. When I go to a hockey game, that now they expand it. Obviously, I don't know if you've been to the Scotiabank Arena lately. It's like, it's crazy. You're paying out of your ass for a brew, but they have numbers of beers on taps now.
Oh, nice.
I'll still go to a Coors Light though.
Sure.
It's just because I'm used to it.
It's just easy drinking, especially if you got food.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, but Antonio, is that because you like the taste of it, or because you just don't want that heaviness?
No, it's the heaviness. It's exactly what you just said. Yeah. It's the heaviness. I prefer having a light beer, especially when you're sitting down. Like, I find if I'm having a craft beer or an IPA or something a little bit more rich and heavy, it's not when I'm sitting down watching an event or if I'm sitting down and eating. I feel like it's more of a social beer. Does that make sense to you, Lou?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're standing, like something like last night.
But that's why I would enjoy a little bit of flavor, right?
Well, for sure. But you still get, listen, when we go on our fishing trips, okay, we're not really picky what kind of beer we buy, right? Because we're casually drinking it. We're not going out to a restaurant. We're not going to a sporting event. So we'll go into the...
I'm probably the pickiest
you
of
are,
the bunch.
100%. Yeah. But I would say for me, as an all-around, if I'm drinking a good cold brew, it's got to be a light beer. This is
all
me.
Right.
Sorry, man. I got you always got to say the opposite. What's your problem?
Yeah, I don't agree. No, I don't have to agree with you.
What do you drink? You have to agree with me. What do you drink?
My preferred beer?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't have I don't stick to one brand. Like, you know, right now, I still have some of yours. I'm drinking a lot of Nickelbrook. It's a local brewery out in Etobicoke. I really like their stuff.
But lagers, IPAs?
Yeah, like no IPAs. I'm not an IPA guy.
Right.
I don't like that heavy feeling
Me too.
After.
Me
so
too.
That's not my thing. But a lot of blondes, you know, Rickard's Red, stuff, stouts as well. I enjoy a good stout.
I do like the citrus beers. I will say that. Like, I do like having, like, the whites. Like, I do like having...
I don't appreciate Hoegaarden as much. Like, a lot of guys really like that really fruity, light beer, and I don't enjoy it.
I'm not a fan of the wheat beers. I was when I was younger, but then I just really quickly grew out of them. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a lager guy. I wanted to put out a lager product.
Yeah.
And I think, like Antonio says... And for the reasons he says, a light beer is something that I think hunters and anglers, at the end of the day, you're thirsty.
Right.
You know, you're dehydrated. Okay, you're drinking a diuretic. I get it. But still, it's easy to put back three or four or five or whatever your number is and not feel like total shit.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's what it is.
For it doesn't me. Sit you down. It doesn't sit you down. You know, you can keep. Yeah.
Right on.
So, Chris, I'm excited. We'll have a whole new product. I'm sure we'll be sponsoring Unleash the Beast again. And, you know, everybody, it's win-win for everybody. And we're happy to be a part of the community. And I think this will be a even more successful product for us. We'll be in a bunch of beer stores. We'll be online selling it at first and then, you know, work with markets and all stuff. Yeah.
With this, with our beer, with our meat snacks, the spice, like the spices, everything's on fire right now for this network. I'm really enjoying this time. Everybody seems to be like on a real like trend upwards. Everybody's in a great positive attitude. And I think the network's on fire right now.
Oh man. We're just so blessed to be your guys' partners. I feel like we're all teammates. I've been walking around looking at some of the competition ready to pop them. I'm not going to be honest. Okay, I bleed fish in Canada. All right. Anybody else walking around when you see my face?
Oh boy, here we go.
My hands are shaking, Chris. Okay.
Tony, it was funny last night after you guys left.
He carries his knives with him.
After you left last night, we were sitting around the poker table, and I said to Angelo, I go, is there anybody here we should go roll up? Like, just walk up as a crew and just start fucking throwing punches.
Let's go.
So it's funny that you said that. We're on the same wavelength, Chris. We're not even drunk today.
We're sober, man. I'm ready to pop.
I'm waiting for Frank to throw someone in an arm bar, man. I can't wait to see it.
Just so you know, Antonio, when he was playing poker, when everybody was doing the beers or the shots, you know, Frank was just throwing it behind him, right?
Yeah.
I was throwing it behind me. He was stone sober.
I'm going to tell you. Yeah, you know what? That was probably his game plan, and that's probably why he cleaned up on the poker table, because everyone was looped, and Frank was just – Frank. So I think I know he had – your strategy was. Strategy was lose, right?
Then buy early. Get everybody comfortable.
Get everyone – oh, this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
I asked him, like, how does a flush work? How does a straight work?
Oh, here we go.
Is this A good?
Is an A good, guys, or
– Oh God! Can I go ace two or do I got to go ace king?
That was awesome, man. No, I'm happy to be part of your guys' team,
it's been fun.
I'm excited to drink your beer. I'm excited to eat your pepperettes, and I'm excited to fish with you guys, man. It's awesome.
We're gonna get it done this year for sure.
Let's make it happen, boys.
All right, guys. Well, you know what? Appreciate you coming by.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. And we're going to have you joining our podcast, too, if you're cool with that.
I'd love to. What days are you guys recording?
We're recording every day.
Are you really?
Yeah, every day.
Dude, I'll come on every single day.
Damn right.
Let me know. Just give me a little.
Well, we'll see you in a few hours, bud. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Sounds really great. Cool, man.
All right, gents.
All right, boys.
All right, boys. Thanks, Chris. Nice talking to you, Chris.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Frank.
Take it easy.
All right, I'll see you on the other side of the table.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, we were going to talk to our friends from Anderson's Lodge, but I'm looking over at his booth, and he's absolutely swamped. So I think maybe we'll kick him till Sunday.
We'll kick him till Sunday. Where are we at now for time? Must be at least an hour.
It's an hour. It's exactly an hour.
Nice.
Yeah, if you want to hit the sheets, we can wrap this up. If you have any other questions about the show or something else we should talk about, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, we covered a lot. We covered a lot in terms of what's coming down the pipeline for us. But the show, I think I have some more questions about the show. But I think you're right. Like Sunday, let's spend a little more time on Sunday talking about some of the products and specifically some things you think will pair well with the Muskie community, right? Like things that we can use on our boats, things that we can use on our vacation or like on our fishing trips, things that we can just use daily for our Muskie fishing or like on the day trips. So think about that and keep in the back of your mind when you're walking around and anything pops out, we can talk about it.
Funny little story before we leave, but the two last men standing at the poker table last night was myself and the gentleman who owns Campus Crew Apparel and Tim, and he's a really great guy. And so got to know him last night. And so he says he's got, you know, fishing shirts and all sorts of, you know, the hooded fishing shirts that we said we wanted to do and all that stuff. So
so what happened? What happened to the plan for us getting shirts out for this show?
Well, did, I mean, did, it didn't really happen. It didn't really happen. I didn't ask him about it, but there's good Fish in Canada swag here. There's good Eaton Wild swag here, but like, let's be honest.
But when you talk to him, there's something that we could work with him. Something we can do with him to get some shirts out. That's great.
Okay. Yeah, like you and I have almost like we get. You know, the fans, you guys are always sending us email and, hey, when can we get this? When can we get hats? I'm wearing my Ugly Pike baseball hat. So, like, when you think about when we got these baseball hats done and what a shit show that was. But
that was a shit show.
But I literally, but, but like, but here I am, I'm at this show and it's like all the swag I got. So we're so overdue with fans that always contact us asking for stuff. Yeah. We're going to have swag in our e-commerce store. It's
a decal. We need a new decal based on that logo that you have behind you now. That'll be a perfect circle of decal. Yeah. So they can, that'll be easy. Some shirts and some hats and some, we talked about keychains and stuff. So, we got to make that happen for all of the listeners that have been reaching out to us.
I think it's time, and I also think that with all that you've got on your plate, I as much as it would have been nice to have some swag here, I don't think it's that important that we put that to the front of the line. So we've got some critical deadlines to meet with some amazing products, and it's gonna be amazing when people taste this these grass-fed beef pepperettes. They're gonna lose their minds. It's so good. I had Alex Boutin over, Rex St. Pierre, Barbarian Braid, as everybody knows. He came down, made the trip down to Niagara last week, and it was like a food tour because we're always in a group chat with our buddies and talking about how great the food is in Niagara Falls, New York, La Hacienda, you know.
Oh yeah.
And so Yeah, right, exactly. So he's like,
and you're talking to a guy who's been to like 42 countries, so I can say with confidence that is the best pizza I've ever had in my life.
You know what?
There's a style. I mean, compare it to pizzas. Yeah. But for what it offers in terms of the style of pizza, I've never had a better pizza. Every summer I come home, it's the first week of that trip is Hacienda with my parents.
Yeah, man, for sure. And I think he just got so sick of hearing us talk about that, and I, sending some of my buddies there, and oh my God, it's so good. And it's funny because the other day, this has nothing to do with fishing or musket fishing or anything like that, but the other day I was over in the States, and my wife's like bringing pizza home. And I'm like, well, it's like 2 p.m. The Hacienda doesn't open until 4:30. So I went to Sammy's. That's one of the other places everybody talks about. Not as good. It was good.
No.
Not as good.
I think the wings are a little bit better there.
Oh,
but
yeah?
But the pizza's not. Yeah.
Dude, I'm a glorified salad guy. If I go to La Hacienda, I got to have a glorified salad. I got to have the pepperoni mushroom pizza. And
About the green beans at Hacienda? You ever had those?
No.
Oh my God. That's like the staple. Yeah, that and a pizza and wings. Greens and beans. They're really? Unbelievable.
All right. Next time, like I said, the glorified salad's always been that for me. But
so good.
I'll definitely try to mix it up. But where I'm going with this is Alex was lucky enough to be in town when we had our first batch of pepperettes ready for sampling.
Oh, nice.
And so he got to do the sampling with me. We went over and saw Robbie at Norcini and, opened up a pack, and they're freaking awesome. They're awesome. And I can't wait. You can taste how clean these are too. Like, you're eating a meat product. It's like, so to the listeners, like, this isn't like a freaking Slim Jim. Like, these aren't Slim Jims.
This isn't a preserved, like, like 3-year-old product that's been sitting on. Like, this is fresh.
Yeah.
100%, clean beef. And we're getting it, we're working with a butcher that is, just up the top, like the best quality you can find, basically.
Yeah, like a lot. He works with Southern Ontario Farms for his sourcing. No antibiotics, no steroids, none of that stuff. And so
no nitrates.
And so it's a clean product. And as you and I are tossing around, marketing concepts and names and stuff, it really is fuel. And
Did you get some good feedback? Did you get some good feedback on what I sent you?
Oh, we didn't. I didn't. I just kind of showed them the wall of logos, and we just kind of chuckled. Yeah. We didn't really drill down on it. I didn't open any of the pictures or anything like that. So they just got a glance. But even looking at a glance at some of this stuff, it's
mind-blowing.
The problem is we're just going to flood ourselves with so many good options that it's going to be very difficult to narrow down or distill down to like two or three because,
yeah, maybe,
you know, but we'll get there.
Well,
but,
I think, you know, we're at that point where go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we're at that point where we have a really good selection of options that there's definitely a couple winners in there that we're going to settle on. And I think we're going to make the right decision.
I think even casually, we were kind of, I don't know how you felt about some of the ones I sent back to you, but I think we're on the same wavelength. The one for the meat snacks, I just, I don't know why I love that one so much. It feels earthy to me. It feels like the grass, the water, you know, and the colors. But these are all things, these are all things we need to kind of discuss. And, but it's really exciting. And you know what? Everybody's going to be able to buy these online. They're not going to be expensive. And you can buy them easily. And then, you know, hopefully we'll have product distribution as we meet distributors for beer and all that stuff and work our sales channels and stuff like that. But super easy to order online. Like I said, we're almost ready to launch our e-commerce store. And so lots of great offerings. And we're going to keep adding products to that store and getting our fans the stuff that they want finally. So we're happy to be able to do that.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So I think, I'm going to let you go so you can get out and mingle.
Yep.
And then let's reconnect on Sunday, or even if you want me to call in tomorrow, I can manage that. Just let me know. And Sunday, we're booked for Sunday. So like I said, on Sunday, you'll have a better feel of some of the things, like specific products we can talk about. But other than that, enjoy the show, man. And I wish I was there with you. And
yeah,
good luck.
Reach out if you want to do something tomorrow. We'll just do three episodes from this show if you want.
Yeah,
but I think Sunday is going to be a good option. Like I said, I'll have met so many more people here. It was just tough this being the first day and walking in with only 2 hours to spare. So. Suffice it to say.
So just so you know, like on the Saturday when I went, it was like, you know, a 90s club that, you know, that is like the night of the week, Saturday night, the best club in the city. And you show up. It was like that type of atmosphere where you could not move. Like, you know, when we used to go to those places and you'd get from the door and then you'd want to go get a drink. And there'd be like 900 people between you and the bar, and you'd have to like salmon going upstream it, and to get it, that's how busy it was when I was there with my family. Like I was holding my kids' hands, like I was afraid I was going to lose them. But it was a good atmosphere. I'm just saying, there were so many people there, so that it's a huge draw.
Okay, so like I've been saying this, like I told Dean, our producer, I can't make it Saturday, but I think I'm going to, after I'm done with my academy duties, I think I'm going to run up here and try to do the last 4 or 5 hours here on the Saturday. I really want to see it because I believe what you're saying. And it's
Sunday will be busy too. Sunday will be busy too.
But Saturday is the day.
Yeah.
Right, Dean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the day for sure. It was packed last year. It was nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and then
Dean's still with us. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, I'm here all day.
Dean's been sitting beside me the whole time. Yeah. He's running the show here.
I'm not allowed to leave.
You know what, Chris? Dean and I had a great talk last night about some show concepts, and I'm going to run some ideas by you. And I think we've got a really good idea for maybe a 2 or 3 part series that I'm excited about. I think you'll be excited about it too. So. And I know the listeners will like it. So if we can come to a consensus on fine tuning that concept and those concepts, but we'll talk about it off air. And I think you're gonna like
sure,
it.
Sure, I'm all ears, man. Yeah, let's talk about it
for sure. All right, we ready to sign off, Chris?
Sure. You want to do an outro?
Yes, I will
close it out.
Would love to. Everybody, thanks for listening. Please leave a review for us, iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you consume your podcast media. We would love it. It helps the show, helps our rankings, and makes our wonderful sponsors happy. We're very happy to have them. And along those lines, if you're a big business or a small business or whatever, We can offer podcast rates with national TV exposure with our ad packages. There's nothing like this. And Chris, what I've been saying a lot lately is you either believe in advertising or you don't. And if you're in the musky fishing industry and you believe in advertising, this is the absolute best allocation of your advertising dollars. With our affiliation of this show, with our sponsoring, the podcast network sponsoring of the Getting There segment on the Fishing Canada show, there's no exposure like this. I know that getting feedback from our existing sponsors are quite happy. And you know what? We want to go the extra mile for our partners. And we're happy to and we're proud to. So reach out to us on social media through our website, and I'll hook you guys up with our deck, and we'll go down the road, and we will convert sales for you. So along those lines, thanks for listening, everybody. Next week's episode, we will also be from the Sportsman Show. Maybe we'll even squeeze an extra episode in there. Chris, if you get the itch, hit me up tomorrow. And yeah, come see us at the booth. Well, never mind. This is airing in freaking 2 weeks.
Yeah.
All right. We're signing off. I got to go. Chris.
Cheers.
All right.
Cheers.
Take care. Bye-bye.
The Ugly Pike Podcast.
How did a small-town sheet metal mechanic come to build one of Canada's most iconic fishing lodges? I'm your host, Steve Nidzwicki, and you'll find out about that and a whole lot more on the Outdoor Journal Radio Network's newest podcast, Diaries of a Lodge Owner. But this podcast will be more than that. Every week on Diaries of a Lodge Owner, I'm going to introduce you to a ton of great people, share their stories of our trials, tribulations, and inspirations. Learn and have plenty of laughs along the way.
Meanwhile, we're sitting there bobbing along trying to figure out how to catch a bass. And we both decided one day we were going to be on television doing a fishing show.
My hands get sore a little bit when I'm reeling in all those bass in the summertime, but that's might be for more fishing than it was punching.
You so confidently you said, "Hey, Pat, have you ever eaten a drum?"
Find Diaries of a Lodge Owner now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and muskie shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox angler's paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear from bait casting to fly fishing, and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top quality service. But Izoco's more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips, swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories.
No matter what species you love to target, from boot to headlamp, Angling Sports has what you need. Their store is massive, and it's just loaded with equipment and apparel. So if you love to go after those big toothy critters like we do, it's a one-stop shop for all pike and musky tackle. Whether you're looking for trolling rods or casting reels, Angling Sports is always adding the latest and best industry offerings from entry level to higher end. Looking for custom musky baits? They got them. It's worth the drive to London, so check out their amazing store in person or online by visiting anglingsports.ca and net that PB in style.
Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and muskie shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox angler's paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear, from bait casting to fly fishing, and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top-quality service. But Izoco's more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips, swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories.